Justin is the full package. He's handsome, he's smart, he's the life of the party. But now, well into his 30s, he's never had a boyfriend. Not only that, but he's never been on a date. This is Exit Interview. Hi, I'm Yue Xu.
And I'm Julie Krafcik.
We are active daters turned dating sociologists. We have this other podcast called Dateable, where we've spent years exploring everything from attachment styles, you all love that, to sex parties. Some of y'all love that too. And now we're taking our dating advice to a whole new level here on Exit Interview.
And if you've been listening to the show so far, you know the drill. But for anyone new, we have our dater that we're featuring that's wondering, what is going on in my love life? Why aren't things clicking the way I want them to? And we talk to their old flames, their exes, to really go into what is happening for them.
Yeah. And today we're doing something a little bit special because we're talking to someone who doesn't have any exes at all.
I think a lot of people can relate to this. At a certain age, you feel like you should have had more dating and relationship history than maybe you do. And we can really get in our heads on this. Like, I know for me, I was definitely a bit of a late bloomer. I probably didn't really start dating till like my late 20s. And it was something you held on to, like there's something kind of missing for me. And we've talked to daters before, like, how do you not make this your narrative?
And yeah, the narrative is what defines us. And once we live in that narrative, it's hard to get out.
Yeah. You know, it's hard because I feel like dating and relationships is so central in our culture. And I do remember there were times that I would, you know, want to be in something just to have something to talk about with my friends. It wasn't because I actually wanted a relationship. It's that I didn't want to feel left out.
But also, you're not alone in this.
No.
When I moved to San Francisco, I was shocked by the amount of people in their 30s who had never been in a relationship. But it made so much sense. San Francisco, these big cities attract people who prioritize their careers, prioritize their life experiences, and maybe not their love life.
And you know, we all have had relationship experience. It might not be romantic, but we all relate to people every day. We have friends, we have family, we have coworkers. All that is relational experience, and we can't forget that. How do we start to gravitate and hold on to all the experiences of relationships we've had?
Which brings us to our guest today. Justin has a heart of pure gold. When we first spoke to him, we fell in love with him, but he wasn't sure he would be a good fit for Exit Interview since he's never been on a date, he claims, and he didn't have any old flames for us to talk to. But we loved him so much that we couldn't pass up on this opportunity to help him out. And so we customized this episode for his particular situation. And we had some really fun surprises for him along the way. So please welcome Justin.
All right. Okay.
Thank you for being on the Exit Interview. Thank you for being part of this experiment and experience.
Intrigued to see how this goes.
Here's what we know about you in a nutshell.
Okay.
You are a perpetually single gay man living in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. You are surrounded by friends who absolutely adore you. You proclaim that you've never been on a date. And despite trying your best on dating apps, you have been ghosted a lot and can't get anyone to stick around. You now live in Austin, but grew up in a tiny town in Tennessee where coming out and finding self-love was a challenge. We know that you are an extremely giving person with an infectious warmth about you and a gorgeous beard. And you are dying to figure out what is getting in the way of actual dates and deeper connections with men. We're going to hear from the people in your life who know you very well. And we want to decode the big mystery of why can't Justin get a date?
What are you hoping to get out of today?
I'm hoping, you know, talking to two experts that I can let the wall down a little bit because I really had to teach myself, really. I mean, growing up in a small town, there was one other gay guy in my school.
Well, that you know of.
That I know of. Yes. he was openly gay, but at that time, I just wasn't ready for that. He was like out and loud and proud when we were in high school, and I didn't come out till I was 23. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, you know, you guys can dissect it and just help me feel a bit more comfortable. And, you know, I'm not looking to get married tomorrow, but I would like to date, and I do want to, you know, have kids and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm hoping that whatever you guys tell me, I'm going to take it, receive it, and use it.
Love it. Well, dissect we will.
So let's go back to younger Justin. When you were ready to come out, how did that go?
I did like a tour. So I was going around telling people like that I was gay.
The coming out tour.
The coming out tour is exactly what I was doing. And I told one of my really good friends, and it was about 15 minutes from leaving her. She put it on Facebook.
Shit.
Yeah. Damn. Yes, I cut her off at that moment, actually.
Wow.
And so I didn't really get to have that, you know, coming out on my own.
Wow. I can't believe that happened to you. I'm so sorry. Let's try to break this down then. You've never had a romantic relationship. Is that correct?
That is correct. Have I been in love? Yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think that person, well, I know that person just wasn't ready.
Mm.
I would say that, yes, I was in love. And I think my friends that were around at that period of time and saw the interaction between us would say the same. And he also did say he loved me. So,
you know. This wasn't a romantic relationship?
It never, ever got physical other than holding hands.
So you're in love, but you're not dating. Like, what was kind of the reasons why things didn't progress?
Well, he had a girlfriend that I didn't.
Okay. Know. Okay.
So that's a major indicator right there. So
slightly.
We actually met at work, but he got really touchy-feely with me. And so I was like, okay, are we dating? Do you like me that way? And then we had the conversation. And he was just like, I'm not gay. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So I was really in love with him.
Wow. This whole never been on a date. Like, how do you define a date?
A date is actually if we're going out and we both are stating this is a date. So if he asked me, let's go do dinner, this is a date. That's what I define as a date.
When we talked to people, everyone was like, Justin actually goes on quite a lot of dates. So many dates.
Is that what they said? Is that what they said?
Too many dates.
I don't know if they said that now.
So we were just confused, basically.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. So the apps have been used, obviously.
We're already seeing some of the patterns come out, which is like around labels and identity. And it sounds like what happened to you 9 years ago, you were already trying to take back your narrative about your identity. And you were in love with someone who was not even close to that yet, right? So now you're on this journey to really coming into your own. And that's what we're hearing from your friends that you've put on this list for us to reach out to.
We're going to start with the first one of your friends. And we talked to Kanisha, who's even more than a friend. She is your cousin.
She
is 11 years older than you and almost raised you.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little about your relationship with Kanisha and why you chose her as one of your exit interview participants?
Absolutely. I mean, there's only a few of my family members that I talked to. I actually have talked to her twice today.
Okay.
So I definitely want to choose her because this is important to me. So I wanted you guys to talk to people who I knew would give you all the tea, even if I didn't want them to.
Oh, she did.
Without further ado, let's get into it with Kanisha.
Okay.
We're more than friends. We're cousins. So I've known him his entire life.
Oh, my goodness. So you have some good insight for us then.
Yes.
So from your expert opinion, what's going on in terms of dating life or lack thereof dating life for Justin?
To be honest, I have no idea. When I tell you he's probably the most caring, loving, compassionate individual, people are automatically drawn to him. We were just walking San Antonio on the Riverwalk and people would approach him. I mean, it's just like he has this aura about him that people just like are drawn to. And when he comes to visit me, his app will be blowing up. My app doesn't go off like that.
So his app is like he's getting a ton of matches, but none of them go to dates.
These people just want the hookups, which he doesn't always participate in. He's like, I want to go on a date. But he is a giver by nature. He's very nurturing by nature. And somehow he's drawn to people who are really projects, who he feels like they need him. And they may need him, but then where's the line between need and use? And so you have to be very aware of, like, are these people, will these people reciprocate when you need them? And I think that's what he's finding. Like, not all people reciprocate on the same level that he does, because he'll literally give you the shirt off his back when he doesn't have it to give.
What's an example that you've seen that you're like, hey, Justin, this person is borderline using you, but you're not seeing it?
Actually, and it's not even relationship-wise. I think it was more of his mom.
Okay.
And I think that is where the issues started, because he gave her opportunity after opportunity when he should have probably cut her short a long time ago. And sometimes, you know, people just need to feel needed. And maybe that is what his thing is.
Can you recall when was the closest he's ever been to a relationship?
I think Justin likes someone who's kind of like a take charge. He would love someone that's a take charge individual. And there was one guy a few months back that came across that way, but he wasn't upfront, you know, with Justin. And the guy was actually in a relationship. But then he began to try and gaslight Justin into thinking like it was Justin was the problem and not him. And I was like, no. But I just think he just tries to give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
There's some meaty stuff in there. There's some heavier stuff in there, too. But I want to start with the lighter comment of your app being blown up all the time.
Yeah.
And you attracting all kinds of people from everywhere. But it seems like you still can't turn those interactions into dates. Tell us more about that. How much time are you spending on apps like Grindr?
I'm on Grindr and Scruff. But no, I think, like she said, you know, it's more of just the hookup. I mean, obviously, look at the name of the app. So, I mean, clearly, we know what it's there for, but I'm just that little country guy that thinks that maybe there might be a friendship or something else that comes out of that. I know it probably sounds so stupid, but, you know, there have been some guys that I've actually had conversations with, and we never actually hooked up.
I did see your face kind of change a little when Kanisha said that you were drawn to projects. Can you kind of tell us your thoughts on that?
It's funny that she said that, because I always tell my some of my friends that are single that they do that. So clearly, I may be projecting because that may be me.
Wow. Did we just have our first breakthrough? Right now?
I mean, this is early, you guys. We just started. Jeez.
It's happening.
I guess she's fine. Like, I just like to help people. I guess I am drawn to quote unquote needy, broken. I wasn't necessarily broken, but like, I genuinely want to help people. If I ask you how you're doing, don't give me a generic, I'm doing all right. If you're doing horrible, say, you know, actually today's horrible. Let's talk about it. And I'm that way with anybody on, like, at work, even on the app. I've had guys that be like, I had a bad day. I'm like, well, tell me about it. And I think they kind of get like, well, hold on, like, you actually care? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? Tell me what's going on.
And we don't want to suppress that part of your personality, because that's incredible.
Yes.
And, you know, there are definitely boundaries of how do we maintain that, but also put Justin first.
Okay.
We'll keep going on that later. It's going to come up again.
Okay.
And tell us about this guy from a few months ago that you...
Oh.
Go grab a sip of water. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And tell us about this guy from a few months ago that you found out was in an actual relationship. Sounds exactly like what happened with the guy from 9 years ago.
This guy was not really the typical type that I go for. And he was somebody who actually could carry a conversation. So I was initially drawn to that. It wasn't anything sexual. We just literally the first day we talked on Grindr, we swapped phone numbers and we talked for like 2 hours. I'm like, okay. I didn't say anything yet because I didn't want to get too giddy after 2 hours of talking to somebody. And there was one night he said, well, let's hang out. You know, can I come over? And I was like, sure. And we were sitting here on the couch. And at one point, like, he kind of like shrugged for me to come over and like cuddle. And I was like, okay, like, cool. And then there was one particular day we were on the phone and he had mentioned having a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then to make it worse, he's like, well, you know, I have a boyfriend. I said, well, what was all the cuddling? He said, oh, you call that cuddling? And I was like, well, if two people are laying on the couch against each other with their arms around each other, yeah, that's generally called cuddling. But he said that's not what it was. And I was like, okay.
Damn. What? That is definitely gaslighting.
Yeah. Mm.
So we know that you're looking for something serious.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried anything other than apps?
I haven't really been out that much here in Austin yet. Obviously, when I first moved here, it was still COVID. Now we're all going back out now. So, I've met a few guys at work that are gay and actually are starting to try to make friends because I don't have any gay friends. That's the issue, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a problem for me. Anytime I've been around any gay guys and it's gotten awkward. I actually feel like I'm probably going to sound horrible saying this, but sometimes I feel more comfortable with my straight friends. And the reason is because I've actually been told from a gay guy at a gay club one night that I wasn't gay enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard I'm not gay enough, but I also heard I wasn't black enough. So I'm like, okay, well, what is it? I mean, I'm just Justin.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to your next exit interview participant here. And this is Kayla. Kayla is someone you consider basically your sister-in-law because she's married to your best friend. Why is Kayla someone that you wanted us to talk to about your dating life?
Kayla and I are very similar. We are straight to the point and we will give you what you're asking for. And she has been someone that I love her. She and I have just been super duper close. Like I said, I call her my sister-in-law. And so I definitely had to have her input because I just knew she'd be the perfect person to talk to.
And she was.
She was. And she was definitely straight to the point. That was is for damn sure.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. She's, yeah. Let's hear what your quote-unquote sister-in-law had to say.
Okay.
He's a very loving person. As soon as you start talking to him, you're like, wow. I mean, you click. He has that natural ability. Mm. So, I mean, a lot of people, if they think that he's in for it, they'll shoot their shot with him. Justin's a super trusting person, but at the very same time, a standoffish person. He's very guarded. He's been through a lot of betrayal and pretty rough stuff. So it's harder for him to be able to get close to people without him automatically assuming that they're gonna, you know, screw him over.
Can you give us some examples of when he's been hurt and betrayed?
You know, his mom, there's a lot of, you know, distrust and abandonment because a lot of his family was like, oh, well, I got to believe mom.
Yeah, I felt that. It's a lot.
Of course, we're here to talk about Justin's love life.
Yes.
Do you think he knows what he's looking for? Like, do you think he has criteria or do you think it's more just I'm open to anything?
He's looking for someone who has the same life goals. And, you know, for the people that he attracts, they don't have the same life goals. He's looking for, you know, marriage, kids, a trusting relationship, a friendship, one particular perfect person. And unfortunately, that person's not out there. So physically, Justin, you know, is into like someone masculine. He himself, I mean, he has mostly straight friends, little to no gay friends. So he's out, but he's not in the community. So all of his friends are straight. He's looking for someone that, you know, is basically straight, but wants to date men.
What do you think he's like on dates?
He hasn't been in a relationship before. When you go through, you know, the crappy relationships is when you find out what you really want and, you know, people's red flags when they're there. He knows that he's got to get out there. But again, where I think it gets muddled is he doesn't want to be rejected, right? It's that it goes back to that like abandonment and rejection. And he doesn't want that. So he just doesn't go out because, you know, he hangs out with mostly straight people. Until you get to know him, you won't know that he's gay. So he's afraid he doesn't really fit in with the straight community. If he goes out into the gay community, he doesn't really fit in there. He's not your typical gay man. So I think, again, that fear of rejection is just holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as, you know, he starts feeling a little bit of, you know, hey, I've been there too, I get it. And he dumps all of that baggage. He's been through a lot of betrayal and pretty rough stuff, and it's pretty quick. I guess kind of what I have a vision in my mind of it being is like Justin's carrying around all this baggage, and then somebody's like, hey, I think, you know, you're carrying it around. Let me have some of it. And he's like, whop.
So there's a lot of trauma dumping. That's what it sounds like. If you could set him up with a perfect man, what would this guy be like?
A masculine, red-haired man. That's his type. Country boy. Basically, a southern hospitality gentleman who's able to accept Justin the way he is, you know, in all of his sass and excitement and baggage, and someone who's gonna stick it in there.
Stick it in where?
Oh God.
Someone who's just gonna stick it in there.
Who's gonna stick it in there? And also who's gonna stick in there with them.
If you had to give Justin one piece of advice, what would it be?
If you don't put yourself out there, you can't find what you're looking for. Nobody's gonna be able to sincerely accept you until you put it out there. He wants so badly for people to love him.
So we're starting to unpack some patterns. That's for damn sure.
I hear it. Yeah, it's the patterns, the baggage.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about this kind of trauma dumping that was brought up?
She's probably right. I mean, like I told you, I love to converse. I love talking and getting to know somebody. And maybe I should spread it out and not the first week, because it is a lot.
I mean, this is something that comes up time and time again, that mm-hmm. daters feel like I'm bonding with my date by sharing all my deep, dark secrets and my past life. And we see time and time again, that's not what actually forms the connection. And I know personally from my own experience, when I used to do that, I would get ghosted. But when I started approaching it more like, I'm just going to have fun on this first date. And yeah, if this person sticks around, there is so much time to get deep and share all about myself. But this definitely is something that we see get in daters' way. So I'm really glad that she was able to call that out.
Absolutely. And that's why I chose for her to be someone for you to talk to. Because I knew that she was going to give it to you raw. So I understood.
I do want to balance out her comments here, because she did say two things that could seem contradictory, but I do think they are complementary. So she's saying don't trauma dump, but also put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. They're two very different concepts. I think the trauma dumping, what that does is that you become defined by your trauma. People know Justin by the trauma that he's been through. But what she was saying is putting yourself out there means, who else is Justin? Who is Justin beyond the trauma? The trauma has defined you up to today, but who is Justin today and then moving forward? That's how I kind of interpreted that. What are your thoughts mm-hmm. on putting the holistic Justin out there aside from the trauma?
I'm here for it. And that's honestly, moving to Texas has helped me do that.
Good.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's what I have to do. I have to stop talking about the past Justin, and let's talk about the new Justin. Let's talk about the single Justin that's here in Texas with a good career and, you know, stop the trauma dumping.
I feel like we have more of your friends that we tapped for feedback. You have no shortage of friends, that's for sure.
I don't. I'm so appreciative of that, actually.
So next up, we have Jordan, who's your old boss and a great friend. From what we learned, you lived together, so it went beyond just a boss relationship.
Yes, yeah.
Or what kind of insight does Jordan have that made you want to choose her?
Living with her and her husband for 3 years. And so just living with them, like, we would go out and do stuff, and they would see what type of guys I like.
Well, let's hear it from Jordan of what she had to say.
He's a grand person. He's a big personality. He's just a grand gesture kind of guy, and he's just got this energy about him that you just want to be near him, and you want to do these grand things. You want to go catch a flight with him to New York and walk around Central Park. Like, you just feel like, you know, you're gonna have the best time.
Do you have an idea of what it may be that is holding him back?
It's him getting in his own way.
Tell us more.
He's very particular. And a lot of times, because he is so particular, he will close himself off before it's open to the idea. So I don't know how many times we've had things where we're like, just go try. What's the worst that happens? You kind of expect him to be a guy that's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this adventure.
Yeah.
But when it comes to his heart, he's a lot more guarded.
What is he particular about?
Everything. Habits, looks. Gosh, I feel like we've been places where he's like, is that guy listening to that kind of music? And we're like, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, good gosh, man. Oh, he drives a Toyota. What? Who cares? Because he does have some great prospects he's talked with. But once things start to seem like they're going in a good direction, he finds something. He always thinks that he's going to end up with a redheaded country boy. If you don't fall in that, sometimes I think he kind of closes them out beforehand. I think sometimes he looks for superficial reasons. I think it's to protect himself because of all the hurt he's had.
Do you think it would benefit him from just going on more dates, even if they weren't with people that necessarily would lead to marriage and kids? Or do you think it would be better for him as a person to be more selective on who he lets through the pipeline and kind of just go for the people that are like ready?
I think he needs to look at his definition of date. I think he always wants to have a date that is just this spectacular whisk you away hot air balloon over Sedona and have this beautiful thing that's this great date. So I think going on more casual dates would be so beneficial for him if he could break through the fact that meeting somebody for coffee is a date. Meeting somebody for drinks one night, that counts as a date instead of idealizing it so much.
Do you think he's immersed enough into the gay culture?
No, no, no. Oh my gosh, no. I wish he would do more stuff, but I think he's missing a lot of community and he needs people to be around him that know what he's gone through. I don't think he is nearly immersed enough. I think he needs more of that.
Why do you think he's so resistant?
I think he doesn't want to be seen as like a stereotypical gay man. I think he has some sort of thing in him where he doesn't want this flamboyancy or things like that. And I think he still has it ingrained in him from growing up in small town Tennessee that this is how it's supposed to be or this is how it is.
What is some parting feedback you would give him?
Be open to all facets of relationships and love. Be open to the idea that it doesn't have to fit in a special little box that you have decided to pursue. There's so much love in the world. Like, don't close yourself off just because you want to receive a specific kind.
Ooh. I wish people could have seen your facial expressions during that one.
Right? Right? That was a lot.
Right? It's a lot, but also a lot of the same stuff we've been hearing, right? We're hearing all these patterns.
Yeah.
One big theme was this, you know, finding community again, finding belonging and also being comfortable in yourself. And then the second theme is like how you view dates. We asked the question from the very beginning, what do you view as a date? There are limitations if you think dates are these grand gestures where you have to say, will you go on this date with me? I don't know what the accent that was, but, you know, like a huge gesture. Can we get you into a state of going on dates as meet and greets, as these casual hangouts? They can be casual hangouts because you're just getting to know someone that you really don't know. It's a stranger. What is stopping you from asking people out on more casual dates? Does that scare you?
It does.
Why?
And I feel like I think because I am, to use some of my phrases I use, I think I'm living in like the Little House on the Prairie day. And I think I'm supposed to be the one that's asked.
I'm wondering if that's fair getting in your way, though. You know, like she pointed it out too, like maybe the pickiness is almost a shield, right? To not let people actually come through. We see this time and time again that a lot of times when you're like kind of waiting or you have these rigid rules, a lot of it's a self-protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it's really fear-driven. And honestly, the biggest danger is not doing anything at all and not taking these risks. So yeah, I mean, also just to add one more thing, redheads, but we're talking about 1-2% of the population. And then you factor in gay men. Like, and I think it's important to stay open, but it can't just be like, I'm going to stay open, but I'm secretly hoping for this type that I've given.
Right.
We need to drop the type.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Strawberry blondes, you know, close enough.
Open the funnel a little.
You come off extremely confident. People are drawn to you. They trust you. They probably tell you things that they probably shouldn't be telling you. But then we see this other side of Justin where there is a little lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's kind of the disconnect, is that you come off so confident, but then when someone wants to see the true Justin, you may come off a little closed off, or you may, you know, kind of shun people away from that. How can we get you more in that confident Justin, not just externally, but internally too?
Well, I mean, I have been working towards that. Like, just being able to look back at all the stuff I've done. I moved to New York. I moved back to Tennessee. I'm in Austin. I've done a lot. I am in like the best position I've been in ever.
Yes.
You know, financially, like I've got down here and started working out and lost like 30 pounds. Like it's been a great thing. So like I am working on myself and I'm working on myself. So now I'm just like, all of them have said, I guess I got to let my guard down mm-hmm. and a little, not all the way, but maybe halfway mm-hmm. And start letting some people in. It's just, honestly, it's so scary to do that with my trust issues.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I know you've been through a lot of trauma and it's hard because you've, mm-hmm. even though you've never been in a relationship, quote unquote, it sounds like you have been in a toxic relationship.
Right.
And, you know, toxic relationships can be family. And what we've seen for patterns with other daters too is you don't want to make the same mistakes again. And you hold that close to the chest. And it's hard to trust. It's hard to open yourselves up. But also for you, it's the balance of not giving everyone a chance either. So I think it's how do you get like really crystal clear of like what's important to you? What are your non-negotiables? What are your needs? Like what does Justin want?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely hearing them, what, two or three of them say community.
Yeah.
We've had conversations and I've never heard them say that. Mm. So that's an eye opener.
That's great. That's great.
We actually have a surprise special guest.
Oh.
You know, he's been listening in on this conversation.
Has he?
Hold tight. This exit interview will continue in just a moment.
Because UA and I are hetero women, and a lot of your friends are too, we wanted to also provide an opportunity to speak with someone that's been through it himself and has helped other gay men as well.
Okay.
So we have Michael DiOrio. So a little bit about Michael. He's a certified life and wellness coach, and he's a primary leader of the Gay Men's Brotherhood, a conscious community for gay men to connect with each other on the journey of healing. His specialty is helping gay men overcome the struggles of modern life by cultivating constructive mental habits and developing emotional growth. So we're going to bring on Michael.
Okay.
And we want him to be the sounding board for some of this identity, community, all the aspects that, you know, UA and I might not be experts in.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hi, Justin. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I've been listening and watching. This has been a lot of fun. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Thank you, Julie, for the introduction. So yes, I'm a gay life and wellness coach, and I specialize, in fact, on dating, relating, sexuality, and self-confidence. So yeah, I'm really curious today to talk to you specifically about your relationship with your gay identity and the gay community.
Okay.
All right. So I'm very curious to know. I mean, we talk about having a gay identity. It's not all of who you are. It's a part of who you are, right? So let's acknowledge that. It's not the fullness of any of us, our sexuality. But at the same time, we all have a relationship with that part of us, right? So as we're talking about relationships with other people and externalizing it in terms of romantic relationships or friendships, I also want you to think of your relationship to that gay identity within you.
Okay.
So as you think about that, describe it to me. What is your relationship with your gay identity?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I think it's kind of like, I would like to be able to be out in the community more. I think it's just maybe being scared of rejection as well from my own community. Like I said earlier, I think you heard me say, I've been told I'm not gay enough and I'm not black enough. So it's kind of like, I feel like I've been on this island by myself. So I don't know how to really describe my gay identity, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think that's the work, right? And it's really good for me to hear that you've been going out more. What is your then relationship with the gay community?
I'm still trying to put myself out there. Like I said, a couple of guys at work. And then we do have a organization at work that I'm actually joined this week that I didn't even know we had for the gay community. And so I'm hoping to maybe sit in one of their meetings and kind of get familiar with some people and just to know the gay Austin. Because I'm definitely proud of who I am. You know, there was a long time where I was so scared to even let it be known. People obviously made those comments. It's still a little bit of being scared and guarded because when you have someone that is in the gay community, and it wasn't just one time, it was a couple times, tell you that you're not gay enough, I'm like, well, what does that mean? What do you mean I'm not? I'm just being Justin, who happens to be gay as well. So I didn't understand.
You are gay enough. There's no negotiation on that. You are exactly where you need to be, period. No one can take that away from you, not me, not anybody else. When people say that, I think it's often a projection of their own sexuality or their own issues of their own sexuality. So, you know, like other things, try not to take it too personally. Of course, it's easier said than done, but you get to define your experience as a gay man. You get to define your community, right? One of the things I see a lot of is that gay men tend to think, and it is in the mainstream media, that it's all about glitter and rainbows and pride and drag queens, which is great. That's absolutely part of it. Part of it that is wonderful. There's also so, so much more to it, right? So a question I have for you is, where are you mostly engaging with other gay men?
Apps. Mm. Work with the few that I've met at work.
Yeah, apps. Apps is a tough one. I love the apps. They're great. But the experience that we have of apps is you're going to get a very skewed experience of what the gay community is, because it's highly sexualized. There's a lot more ghosting in there, as we've talked about. People show up very differently. And it's behind a screen. You're not actually interacting with a human. You're interacting with your screen. So as great as it is, I think, and you're on the right track, honestly, Justin, is finding more of a balance. Like, use the apps to connect. But then I like to tell people, take it off the app. If you like somebody, take it off the app fairly quickly. Move it to a date. And I think one of the people had said, your definition of dating might need to change a bit too. I think we called it a meet and greet. I love that. Call it an exploratory meet and greet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I like that as well. A meet and greet.
All of these little hurts, all of these little traumas, all these little betrayals, it adds to the story. So, you know, that's part of understanding that, hey, here's my identity as a gay man. It's going to have some great parts to it, but there's also going to be some hurt. And, you know, you mentioned therapy before, which is great, healing that and going through that process. But it's also equally important that you start building at the same time great new experiences of what it is to be a gay man and how you want that to look like. Like, that's such a fun, empowering question. What kind of gay man do you want to be?
I don't know. I guess I've never really asked myself that question. I always have felt like I just didn't belong. And, you know, growing up in a small town, I was the only Black guy in my circle of friends because the Black community didn't really accept me that much. There were a few, but being around, you know, other races, I was just accepted more into that. So I don't know. I guess it's just, you've hit the nail. You've actually got me at a loss of words. To go back to what some of them have said, I guess it is me being the type of person who looks for projects because they need me. You know, the person needs me. And
wow.
I need to get over that. I need to stop that.
So yeah. Many revelations.
Jeez. I don't think I'm going to get this is a therapy session in itself. I guess that would be the question for this weekend. What type of gay man do I want to be?
When you're talking about belonging, also remember you got to belong to yourself too. All of you is worthy, and all of you is gay enough, Black enough, Justin enough, Tennessee enough, whatever that is, all your identities, you are enough in that holistic way. So belong to yourself, is it'll make it a lot easier to start putting yourself out there. Because when we talk about putting yourself out there, whether it's on a date or in a community or even at work, it's vulnerability. It's exposing who you are and having the courage to be seen. You know, I teach confidence from the inside out, and that's what that means, is learning who you are so that when you are putting yourself out there, yes, you're going to open yourself up to rejection, judgment, all the things that people will do. But when you have yourself to fall back on and that sense of belonging within, it just makes it a lot easier and also just a lot more fun.
And I'm slowly getting there. I can admit it's I still have a long way to go, but I'm working. I'm getting there. I'm Thomas the Train. I'm getting there.
There are so many people who would benefit from your story as well, right? So one of the great things about community is as you show up and be seen, you're actually helping others as well, because your story, Justin, needs to be heard. You are the community.
Yes.
As you start sharing your experiences, it actually empowers other people as well. So my advice is, go out there and do us all a favor and show us who you are. Show us your voice. I am in the Gay Men's Brotherhood Facebook community. There's 6,000, almost 6,000 men in there. And we talk about personal development, mental health, sexuality, same as the podcast. So please I invite you to come join us. I guarantee you'll have a lot of new connections in Austin.
I will definitely go better.
I can't wait to see you there, Justin.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Love that. That's so actionable.
When we are constantly searching for belonging in molds, we won't find belonging because those molds were created not for us. They're not us. And this conversation with Michael also just empowered me to think, what is the life that I want to live? What is a narrative I want to tell? And so if you come into dates and meeting new people with that mindset, people are just additive to your life. And you can ask that question, is this person adding to my life? And if they are, let's keep hanging out. Let's keep having these meet and greets. Let's see what happens. But if they're not adding to your life, you don't need them. You don't need anybody to bring you down. Nobody can bring Justin down.
Right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it could be that, you know, you've been focused on building other parts of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, there's other reasons why. It's not that you just haven't been able to find a relationship or find a date. And I guarantee, like, if you actually look at your life, like, there are probably reasons. I remember doing this exercise, like, with a therapist and thinking, like, oh, I'm just not a relationship type of person. And she's like, well, let's look at these years that you were moving and you were establishing your own life. Like, I think if you did look at, like, your whole history, it would tell more of the holistic version of Justin, not just Justin that's never had a date before.
Right. I received that.
The more we can, you know, kind of give people the chance, like the innocent until proven guilty, opposed to just assuming they're going to do this from the past. And I know, easier said than done. This is definitely on the therapy personal development journey for this aspect. But yes, it's really hard with toxic relationships to not just assume that's what a relationship looks like. And maybe you actually haven't seen like really great examples of relationships from your family, but how can you tap into your friend network? Because we know you have one.
I do.
And other people out there to like say like, this is a solid relationship and they do exist.
I have several of those. Most of my friends are married. So, but yes, I appreciate it.
What do you think the biggest takeaway for you was from hearing all this?
We'll be right back after this short break.
What do you think the biggest takeaway for you was from hearing all this?
The takeaway from this is I need to establish my community, and I need to let my guard down, not be as picky.
Yep.
Clearly, Michael's question has struck me. I'm sitting here now. Yeah. It's kind of just like, get off the island, I guess. Go out and swim.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess yes. So.
So after hearing this whole conversation, what is like the one thing you're going to do?
You know, the word community kept coming up, you know. So I put myself out there. Mm-hmm. I need to quit hanging on to the past. Quit hanging on to those people saying I wasn't gay enough or black enough. And I know I'm enough.
I mean, all your friends just kept saying like how, I would say magical, just like how it, like great of a person you are. And like, we are seeing this and it's only a matter of time that someone special sees that. Yeah. We know that. We know there's great gay men out there. We know that it's not if, it's just when you're going to actually meet someone. And I guess it brings us back to our initial question of why can't Justin get a date?
I think it's myself. I got to get out of the way and quit blocking myself and put my guard down. If I do get hurt, hey, it's okay.
Yep.
It may happen. Just get up and keep pushing through. And with the family situation that's happened, that's what I've done. I've got up and I've pushed through. So now I just have to, I always say I'm very, very personable when it comes to just everyday interaction, but I always have just been very shy on that romantic side of things. And, you know, I have to let that relationship or non-relationship, whatever it was, go from years ago and quit basing everything else off of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could not have said it better. And, you know, with the new definition of a meet and greet, I actually think,
there you go.
Meet and greet.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I've been on meet and greets.
Yeah, you've got on plenty of meet and greet dates. So I think this whole narrative of I've never been on a date, we can erase that narrative.
You've been on plenty of dates.
We can erase that.
This has been such a great conversation. We're so excited to follow your journey and see what happens next, because we know great things are around the corner for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. This has been so fun. It really has. I was a little nervous, but it's been so much fun.
Ooh, that was a killer conversation.
Love him. He's so great.
So many light bulb moments. And, you know, I think we all get so fixated on this definition of a date. We think it has to be this formal thing. And at the end of the day, it's all about relating to others. And I feel like Justin does that and can do that in many ways and should not be this hung up on the actual date activity.
This is going to sound like a very detour comment, but I will bring us back, is that when Julie and I used to do live events, people wanted it so bad to be singles focused, like dating focused. And we put our foot down and said, no, we're not doing singles events. Because why? When you put a dating context to anything, it makes things awkward. It sets these expectations that aren't real. But when we have a fun social networking event that we've done in the past, we had a no pants party, just for anyone who was there in San Francisco, it was pretty epic. People have a good time because you're not there to date. You're there to meet new people. And that's how dating is. It's meeting and relating to new people and not thinking, could this person be my future husband?
Yeah, I actually think that's what's fundamentally wrong with dating culture, is that there is this etiquette and way that we are supposed to behave and things that we're supposed to do. It's so contrived that it doesn't let us just meet this person as a human being. Just going out into the Austin scene and meeting gay men and having a good time building his community. And all of that is so essential. You don't know who you're ever going to meet. You don't know who they know that they can introduce you to. And you're just living your life.
Yeah.
Justin was absolutely receptive. And I think this whole element of community really sunk in for him. So we're really glad we were able to do this with Justin. That's a wrap on this special edition of Exit Interview. But we'll be back next week for another episode, which may or may not feature someone you're familiar with, if you've been listening so far. Do you have any guesses? Mm-hmm. Okay, let us know.
Make sure to subscribe to Exit Interview to be the first to listen. And while you're at it, give us a rating and review. We love that. And you love us, so that's why you give us a rating and review.
Yeah, it's follow us on Instagram at Exit Interview Show, Twitter at X Interview Show.
We also want to just thank Michael for giving us his insights.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks. This episode was coordinated by Katia Kupalian, creative produced by Samantha Martin, and edited by Jen Jacobs. We are produced by Abigail Steckler at Little Scorpion Studios, with executive producers Yue Xu, Julie Krafchik, and Frolic Media. This is an iHeartRadio podcast.
Before you leave this episode, just a reminder to head over to datablepodcast.com/programs if you want to get in on our Meeting People IRL Masterclass and see what else we have in store.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.